something for the weekend on Saturday. How are you? It is Trina Mara, and I'm delighted to be joined today on the show by Neil Walton. And of course, the Waltons are so well known in Ireland for the music shop. And that's exactly why we're talking to you today, Neil. 100 years of Waltons. Hard to believe, isn't it?
You're telling me.
You haven't been there the whole time.
I don't represent the entire 100, but I could few of them. But it was my granddad who started it, and he started it in 1922. What happened was he was locked up during the War of Independence, and he was interned in Ballykinler by the British. He was a Fetchkill violin player, so he was asked to set up an orchestra when he was in the prison camp because they were trying to entertain themselves. It was absolutely nothing to do with that. He remembers boredom being the terrible part of it. So they tried to just sort of do university, and his job was an orchestra. So they got donated instruments from the equivalent of the Red Cross at the time, and he set up his orchestra. We have a picture of him in the prison camp with his orchestra. They're all these gaunt, like he's 19 or 20 at the time, and a big beard and a long beard, and they're all skinny. But when they were released, he was asked by the high command to sell the violins and return the money to the Red Cross. You have to remember, at that time, it was post the First World War, and there was very little availability of any luxury goods. So he put an ad in to sell the instruments, and there were queues outside his little one-room flat that he had trying to get the instrument. So from there, he thought, oh, if I could find instruments, I could do it. And it took him a couple of years, and in 22, he started the company, and well, that's 100 years ago.
Yeah. Walton's there on North Frederick Street in Dublin. And that was where the shop was for a long time as well, wasn't it?
That's the first building he bought in 1922. He bought one building, and then during the years he built another and another and another. Then, of course, the demographics change and you have one-way systems and no shopping and no buses. And we've evolved down through the years that sometimes we've had two shops, sometimes we've had one shop, two shops. Now we have our store in the Blanchetown Shopping Centre and, of course, our online store. And we manufacture tin whistles, barons, and we sell them all around the world. And we publish music, Irish music books, both for instruction. And then we also have our School of Music, which puts thousands of people through a year learning music.
It was a fascinating timeline that you sent through to me. And it was all, you know, from all the way from 1920 to 1922 when the shop opened, and things that happened in Walton's throughout the decades from, you know, when you first started manufacturing musical instruments. And then there was the radio show on RTE in the 1950s. I obviously am too young to know about this, but that must have been a first as well.
Well, what happened was EMI at the time was a record. It was like his master's voice label decided. It was sort of the beginning of the 50s rock and roll, and they decided that they weren't going to do any more Irish music, as they called it on the label. And my granddad got very indignant about this because they used to sell a lot of records. And he said, right, I'm going to start our own label. Well, how am I going to promote it? And he thought, well, I'll see if we can get a radio program. So there were some sponsored radio programs, and he contacted RTE, and he got a slot on Saturday at lunchtime, 15 minutes. And I think they had two records, two singles, double-sided, ready for the first program. Wow. So they had to play actually one of them twice. But this was in 1952. And they put out the program, and they were, their granddad said they were kind of embarrassed because they hadn't got the next one ready and all. They got sacks of mail coming in for requests for them. And, you know, this is a time when you wrote if you wanted something,
of
you know.
Of course you did. You didn't text in or send an Instagram, yeah?
Exactly. You wrote a letter and you waited, but they couldn't believe what happened. And he continued, and they had loads of people, Mary McGonigal, Noel Purcell, who's a very famous Joe Lynch, who did lots of television with Glenn Rowe.
And, yeah.
But he was actually,
his name?
Joe
Dinny.
Lynch was a very successful in the UK as a, in the Irish music hall with these songs, which was, you know, Cottage by the Lee and the Crystal Gypsy and things like that. Noel Purcell had the Dublin Saunter, which was a huge hit. You know, Dublin can be heaven with coffee at 11, that kind
of.
But the program ran for 30 years, and there was a man, Leo Maguire, who was a teacher in the College of Music, singing teacher, who also wrote the Whistling Gypsy and several other songs. But he never missed a show in 30 years of the programme.
My God.
And it ran, and the catchphrase used to be, if you feel like singing, do sing an Irish song. With the name Walton, if you went anywhere in the country, I mean, this was not of my doing, so I'm not taking any credit for it. It was just what he managed this with this catchphrase. If you went in and you signed in to set up a hotel or a guest house, you said your name was Walton, they'd say, anything to do with the music? And they say, if you feel like singing, do sing an Irish song, was literally a catchphrase that anybody my age, certainly my age and over, would know.
The Walton, it's a family-run business, and even still to this day it is. Imagine 100 years later. I have great memories, can I tell you, Neil, of being a teenager. I spent many a Saturday in your shop.
looking in Frederick Street.
Yeah, looking at the instruments, looking at the sheet music, really, really wanting to have a grand piano and having absolutely no hope of ever having one. Not being able to play an instrument, but trying, you know. I don't know how you put up with us. We used to go in, gangs of us used to go in on a Saturday who were into music and we wanted to see what you had.
But that was kind of the atmosphere that we liked, believe it or not. I mean, there was right through from the show bands in the 60s and the 70s, it was kind of a place to hang out if you liked music. And if you played them, there were a few things that you weren't allowed to do. Like after a while, you couldn't do the furlies and piano kind of thing because we heard it every single day. Everybody who came in to play the piano played it. And there were Stairway to Heaven was like, oh my goodness, you know. And we nearly got into trouble. There was a post done once. The film Once was shot in our Georgia Street shop where the scene with that falling down song.
Yeah.
That was shot on a piano.
Oscar winning,
yes. How it happened, it was just people approached and said, I wonder, could we use your shop on a Sunday or something for a scene first? Yeah, fire ahead, grand, you know. A while later, it was kind of a funny one because everybody then came in and was playing that song at the time. And somebody went down jokingly and said, sorry, that song is banned. You know, jokingly.
Yeah.
But the person anyway went off and put a post that we'd panned the song.
Oh, you're joking.
But again, you know, one of those things where we could hear it 20 times a day because somebody would come in, play us, and somebody else would come in and play us, and somebody else. But it actually hit a newspaper as Walton's ban Oscar-winning song.
The truth is, you were fed up of hearing it. You must have started, when you think about it, Neil, I mean, the fact that Walton's was the shop to go to get your musical instruments, you must have been the start of many big stars and their musical career kind of probably started off by picking up a guitar or whatever instrument from your shop.
Oh, I remember when we actually closed our Georgia Street store when we were moving and changing over to Branchtown and readjusting. And the letters that came in when that shop closed, and there was sort of a bit of confusion that we closed entirely as opposed to moving our store. Mm. And the letters that came in, for a start, there were letters pinned to the railing at the Georgia Street shop saying, we're so sorry to see you're going, we're so sorry to see that. And the letters came in from all, I letter from America, from Brendan Grace, you know, people like that who said, I got my first guitar there, I can't believe it's closed. But yeah, I think what happens if you hang around for long enough, you know. Yeah. But after 100 years of being there, I think it's inevitable that you have some place in music. And I can remember as a kid, literally four or five of the show band's buses being outside the shop on a Saturday. And where Frederick Street was, you had the Iron Ballroom and you had the National Ballroom and you had Barry's Hotel. And these were for the places where the band used to play. So those people came in and literally looked at the instrument side, okay, I want these. And the same through the rock and roll period, and even people visiting into musicians and that visiting the city have come in. But I have to say, of all of the things that you could get to do in your life, you know, being involved in selling musical instruments, it's not a bad life at all now.
Yeah. And you mentioned, Neil, how you are the boss, but you're not really the boss because you've got children who've kind of taken over and they look after it now. And has it always been kind of a given that that is what would happen, that it would stay in the family and everyone was interested in working in the family business?
Not at all. My granddad started it and he was the great autocrat and the person who starts it. And I remember back in my day, kind of, his stories were marvellous. Then my dad went in and both of my aunts worked with them. And then again, at the time, they went and had their families or were involved with different areas. I have three brothers and three sisters, of which a sister and a brother-in-law are involved with the school and the publishing end of it. I basically was the one who took over from my father, 1988 now. That's when I sort of became managing director. And for a long time then, for my kids really, in the last 10 years, have been involved. I now find myself where I'm more interested in what they're doing than what I'm doing. It's actually a joy at this stage because you're the 100 years, which a very small number of companies ever make.
I can't think of many at all in Ireland.
Well, you Guinnesses.
Besides the obvious.
They've been around since 5 to 6, as they say. There are the companies, but relatively few. And it's lovely to see the enthusiasm. And you would have talked to Fiona, my daughter, who does all the web and social media and that. I have my son who runs, he's effectively the chief operations officer at the moment. And I have then another daughter who works in the accounts and that. And another one who's not sure, she's doing a career break with us. So, but she was working abroad and came back during the pandemic. So she's like, oh, this is lovely. I'm just quite happy. What I love is they get on well together. I kind of take it that you can't have done too bad a job of parenting if they're still prepared to work with you, you know.
That's it.
It's lovely. Yeah. So they are the joys of it. There are the hard parts. My granddad said, I remember going back when I was about 20, I'd say, and he was the last few years of his life now, and he asked me how were things inside his stuff is in the business, and I said, oh, they're terribly tough. And he said to me, you couldn't spell it. And he described from his point of view, he said, I got the idea while I was just out of as a prisoner of war camp. I started it when O'Connell Street was still in ruins and there was a civil war going on. It was just starting to get going when the Wall Street crash happened and things went really bad. Then Dev declared economic war on England in 1933. 1938, that was resolved with the treaty ports. 1939, the Second World War started and everything collapsed again for 6 years. And I kind of understood immediately that I didn't understand what tough was.
I know.
And you can imagine that life. And at that stage, he was about, the war ended, he was 46 years of age and they were going, right, what do we do now? So even during this pandemic, it's one of the things that, can you imagine 6 years where you couldn't, they actually started to make instruments because they couldn't buy them. They couldn't get them from anywhere, so they started to manufacture.
Where there's a will, there's a way, isn't there? So even the likes of the pandemic, you're probably thinking, oh, this is actually easy in comparison.
In my mind, yeah.
Definitely. So the shop has certainly evolved over the years from the branches in town to the superstore in Blanchardstown there in Dublin as well. And can I ask you, have you brought a lot of instruments home over the years, nicking them out of the shop and taking the profits away?
The funny part about it is like the builder who says, yeah, I'll do the kitchen next, What happens is the guitar I play was actually a present from an Australian music industry friend of mine who sent it for my 50th. That's what I play. Because until then, I had the cheapest old broken down thing. So it tends to be the opposite because you're surrounded with it. You find that people who run car things generally get I'll get that. I'll take that old one because there's something
they
wrong.
They have the banger.
And I keep having sort of thinking, well, actually, I could do this because it's part of your job and to know it and research it and doing all that. But actually, no, you don't. You do the exact opposite. I play fiddle and I have a nice fiddle from a Czech friend of mine, fiddle maker. And I play guitar badly, but that. And I have a piano, which is an old, old piano. And no, quite the opposite. I suppose it literally is the story that the nearer you are to it, the further away.
Well, Neil, here's to another 100 years of Walton's Music Store. Will you still be in Blanchardstown in 100 years? I don't know. You could be selling from the moon. Who knows? But an absolutely fascinating story, isn't it, really? You are the grandson of the founder of Walton's, who opened the first shop in 1922. And I think anybody who has grown up in Ireland will be familiar with the shop and going in, maybe buying an old tin whistle and buying some sheet music along the way. So thanks so much for the great chat today. It's been absolutely brilliant.
Thank you very much for having me, Tina. It's been a pleasure.
Cheers.
The next 100 years won't be depending on me, I'll tell you that.
Thanks so much, Neil. Bye-bye. This is Something for the Weekend. It's Ireland's Classic Hits.